Our reading from the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith is taken this morning from chapter 11, paragraph 4, and it continues to speak on the first aspect of our salvation, which is justification. The other two, of course, is sanctification and glorification. Justification is the past aspect of our redemption. And it's by means of justification that God frees us from the penalty of sin. He justifies us in Christ. Sanctification is the present and ongoing aspect of our salvation, through which God, by His Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, frees us from the power of sin. The final aspect of our salvation, when it all comes to culmination, is when the Lord takes us home to glory or He returns. That's glorification. It's the future aspect of our salvation, and by means of that, God will free us from the very presence of sin. Salvation is to be freed from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Isn't it glorious? Our confession says, from all eternity God decreed to justify all the elect, and Christ in the fullness of time died for their sins and rose again for their justification. Nevertheless, they are not justified personally until the Holy Spirit in due time actually applies Christ to them. Many people tell you they took the Lord into their lives, which is a good thing to say, but it's more accurate to say that the Lord takes us into His life by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a better way of seeing it? It's not when we accepted the Lord, but when He accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord, and I think that summarizes well what our confession teaches us this morning. If you're saved, you have not made any contribution to that, my friend. Nothing. It's all of God. All of Him. No contribution from us. We have nothing but sin. Praise the Lord for His justification. Let's give thanks together. Father, we thank You that You are our all-sufficiency. You always take care of us. Thank You for loving the widow, the orphan, the destitute. Thank You, Father, that You called us to love them too in very real ways. Thank You that You enable us in that. Thank You that You've appointed us to proclaim the gospel also in this community. Thank You for providing for us the means to do so in these difficult times. We pray that You make us good stewards of what You bless us with. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and we thank You. Amen. We come together to pray before we're going to hear the word. Tony's going to read us the word in a few moments in our consecutive reading. But we're going to pray together, and we have much to be grateful for. We're going to honor the Lord and proclaim His glory among us, and we're going to thank Him for His goodness towards us, and we're going to put our petitions before Him as well. There are those who are deeply in need. There are those who've lost their work, those who have had to take salary cuts in this time, those who have closed their businesses. Susan and I went to another little place in Moraleda Park this week to just go and buy something. And there used to be four businesses on those premises. There's one left. All three, the others have closed down. It reminds us that those are people who sit in their homes wondering, where do from here? What do we do now? How do you start over? With nothing. The man with a restaurant down the road that they opened just about 2 years ago, saw him standing outside of the place, loading their things on to trucks, the furniture and so on, with tears in his eyes. And I went up to him and I said, "I'm so sorry. Are you moving somewhere else?" He said, "No, we're done. I'm left with nothing but owing the bank a whole lot of money that I don't know how I'm ever going to pay it back." And so there are those who are suffering. There are those among us who are sick. Spoke to Jonathan yesterday at our memorial service, our brother Jonathan Holt. And he went for some tests this week. And the tumor is still dormant, but apparently a little problem with the epicardium now that they're looking at. And so pray for our brother. He's a really good friend and brother. Pray for him at this time. Pray for Johan Steyn. Johan is battling a fierce cancer. We need a prayer for him with tears every day. Remember those who are suffering at this time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are our God. You never change, and for that reason alone, we are not consumed. You are from all eternity, O Lord, our God, our Holy One, our everlasting God, the Lord and Creator of everything that exists. You never faint with exhaustion. You never grow weary. There's no way that your understanding can ever be understood by us. And you are a God at hand and never a faraway God. No one can hide in some secret place where you cannot see him or her, because you fill heaven and earth. And you are not far from any one of us. We'll never escape your presence or be able to elude your spirit. If we go up to heaven, you are there. If we make our bed in the depths of the earth, there you are. We can fly away wherever we want to. Even there your hand shall lead us and your right hand shall sustain us. We thank you that you are our God. We thank you for your condescension. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can be together like this. We pray that you let us experience the power of Christ's resurrection on this Lord's Day. As we've all been buried with him in the likeness of his death, help us to walk in newness of life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, as a public display of the Father's power and glory, help us to be seated with him in heavenly places. Help us to enjoy resurrection life as we seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We pray that you help us to not love the world nor the things thereof, but to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our minds, all our strengths, and all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we bring before you this morning all those in positions of power. We pray that you remind every one of them that all power comes from God, all authority is from God, and they are but stewards, and they are servants appointed by God to serve those whom God has given an inheritance in this country. We pray that you make them faithful in that. We pray for your church all over the world, for heaven-sent revival. Father, we see the threats that the church is facing, as even within the quarters of the church, we see people debating this whole crisis. We see what Grace Community Church is saying in the States and others who disagree. And Father, we become concerned. We want to be one as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Help us that this thing does never divide us. Help us to maintain the unity of the faith so that we may truly be salt and light in this world. Revive your church. Pour out your spirit upon her in every quarter. We pray that you fill every pastor, every elder, every leader with the Holy Spirit, and that you help us to be faithful. purge us of all sinfulness and sinful tendencies. We have come together this morning also to pray for those among us who are not well. Lord, while you were on earth, you showed that all of us should show our concern for the sick by bringing them to you. We pray that you be with the elders of our church, that they may pray in faith for the sick. Help us to bring the sick to you in faith, since you've promised that the prayer of faith will save the sick and you will raise them up. We pray for those among us who are bereaved. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our sister Gail as she lay to rest her dear husband yesterday. We pray for Susan and Lawrence and the boys. Lord, we pray that you console them in their loss. We pray for Dirk Martin and his family, for Gladys, for Gerard and Gillian, for Volna and David, Tony and Judy. We pray for Ina as she had to go in for another op this week. We pray for Frank, Lord, that you will heal him. And Brian and Johnny and Niels and Lorna and Tani Annette and Jan and Lisa, and Lorette and Yvonne and Anton and Gerard. We pray for David and Helga, for Johan Gravenstein and Johan Stein, for Andra, Marinus, Henk and Florrie, for Dierwald and Jean and Blanche and Henny and Lida, for Nico and Naomi, for Marina and Jonathan and Sarah Jane, for Selma and George and Marika, for Elena and Teresa and Cecile and little Elena. We pray that you heal them. We come before you with deep contrition this morning and we ask, Father, that you forgive us all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As we turn to hear your word now, we pray that you give us open hearts and open ears and ready wills to do the bidding of our God. We pray this in Jesus' name and we thank you. Amen. Before I read the word to you and try and expound it to you this morning, just to tell you what I'm praying about and thinking now that we've come to the end of Habakkuk, for a couple of weeks or so I'll be preaching single sermons on certain topics to you that I think are of importance to us at this time. But I am praying and thinking about and working towards a series through the book of Romans, all 16 chapters of it. Jonathan has just come through the book of Romans now at Bethany, so we'll follow in the slipstream of that and do it here at Constantia Park as well. And so begin to read the book of Romans in preparation for that. And pray for me as I prepare in these weeks ahead, and then we'll get into the book of Romans. Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 11. I want to look at two verses from chapter 11 of Matthew. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, we're going to read. These are wonderful words, and they come from the very heart and mind of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he speaks to people like you and I. This is the Lord speaking. Verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know many people who never get tired. I don't know many people who never seem like they need a break and they need some rest. Rest can mean various things. And this is not just rest from physical tiredness, having worked hard. Or if you're somebody like me, I get tired from just watching other people work. And so when I look at people, I think I see a restlessness. Do you see it? You feel it? In the day, maybe, when everything gets going and a lot of confusion around you, you just need a break. You just need some rest. It's not that you want the realities of life to go away, because that's foolish. They're not going to do that. Work is never going to go away. If you don't work, you don't eat. The problems that beset us, the fact that we get sick, the fact that our loved ones die and get cancer, some of them get COVID and lose their jobs, and all those things weigh you down and make you feel like you just cannot take it anymore. Rest is when you need a break from that. Remember that one man who said, it was Henry David Thoreau who said that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. I can see that with probably most women too. Lives of quiet desperation. Oh, we try to hide it. We try to not let people see it. We try to not look flustered. Some of us deliberately try to look flustered so that we can get other people's sympathy. And that proves the point. That means that it's a desperate cry for some help and for some rest. That's what it is, isn't it? And here comes the Lord Jesus, and he says, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, what does that mean, being weak and heavy laden? It means that whatever it is you need to bear, whatever it is you need to carry, is just too heavy for you. You feel too weak. You feel that you cannot handle it. Then heavy laden, that means you feel you have too much on your back. You have too much on your hands. It's just too much. Heavy laden. We look at the bulk of humanity, we'll see that. Weak and heavy laden. He's not talking about physical rest. He's talking about something else. He's talking about spiritual rest. That in the midst of difficulty, you can handle it. It doesn't weigh you down so much. Many people are troubled and they agitated in their souls, and they try to find rest in all the wrong places. Have you seen that? Have you seen where people look for rest? They try to find rest in a mate, or in a bottle or a pill, in friends, in pleasure, in entertainment, in music, in a job, in money, in sport, which I must confess to you is something I've become very tired of. I think, yeah, I say very jokingly, and I say it tongue-in-cheek and jokingly, I have become so tired of sport. I think if anybody's caught with a ball and they're older than 5 years old, they need to be locked up. But people look everywhere for rest. This thing that Jesus calls rest. They try to find relief. And so while people run here and they run there trying to find peace, Jesus comes in the midst of that and he says, very simply, very sincerely, very kindly, very calmly, hear his voice. Come to me. All who are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Makes your heart want to say, oh, I'm on my way. Because I need that. My whole heart, my mind, my body, my relationships, my soul, they all need that. That he just promised. This from the same mouth who hung on Calvary's cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was a heavy burden. That was heavy laden. He knows what it's like to be heavy laden. All our sin on him. Every sinful thought, every sinful emotion and motive, every brokenness, every failure, on him on the cross, heavy laden. So he knows what it is to be heavy laden. And he's the one who says, you like that? Come to me. There's a place of rest for the weary soul. And that place of rest is not really a place. It's a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And so in these verses, through a series of commands, Jesus invites you and me to enter that place of spiritual rest. You need to come if you want that. If you don't need that rest, I'm glad you're fine. I find it difficult to believe you. You need to come when you hear him this morning. He says today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Don't do it. And his voice says to you today, if you're weak and heavy laden, you must come to him. No, there's a lot of stuff that scare you. You wonder what's going to happen in the future. What's happening to our country? What's happening to the world? It's just a mess, isn't it? Well, they're good things too. But on the whole, if I see where it's going, it doesn't look very promising, does it? So we need rest, and he's a person. Notice with me, first of all, in his series of commands here, the call to salvation. There is a call to salvation. This invitation is a call to salvation. I want you to notice with me the plea that he delivers and the people that he describes. It's a call to salvation, and there's a plea that he delivers. He says, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden. That is the essence of salvation. Salvation is coming to Jesus. There's no other way to come to salvation but to come to Jesus. It's not coming to a church. It's not coming to a creed. It's not coming to a man. It's not coming to a denomination, to an altar, to a baptistry, to a new way of life, and all of that, all of which are important. But coming to salvation is not that. Coming to salvation is coming to Jesus. You need to come to him if you haven't done so yet. You need to drop everything and come. It's a call to salvation, and it's a plea he delivers. Anyone who sees their need of a Savior can come to Jesus, and they will be saved. No one who comes to me will I in any way cast out, he said. He won't tell you to come, and when you come, he'll say, go away. He's not like that. We like that. He's not like that. He's not going to call you to come, and when you come, he'll show you a way. So that's the plea he delivers in the call to salvation. Notice the people that he describes. He's referring to those people he's been dealing with in this chapter. And if you read the chapter, you'll see that some were struggling under the burden of doubt in verses 1 to 6. There are all those people for whom we have a big word. We call them agnostics. They have doubt. They know that they don't know everything. The yoke of religious legalism in verses 7 to 19. Those are the kind of people that he was describing. And people in the bondage of sin in verses 20 to 24. So all of those people, those who struggle under the burden of doubt, the yoke of religious legalism, and the bondage of sins, he wants all of them that they can come to him and get rest. Leave those things, come to him, and come and get rest. You can see your doubts put to rest if you come to Jesus. You can be free from legalism and self-righteousness. You can let go of that burden of every day reminding yourself of all your failures and thinking, someday I need to fix all of this. And I just don't know how. You can just let it go and come let him fix it. All that legalism and self-righteousness and self-flagellation. The Jewish religion and the oppressions of the people by the Pharisees that are described, they can let all of that go and they can come to Jesus. Because this is what you need to know. All of your efforts can never please God and earn you salvation. Stop even trying. Just come to Him. That's why we call it good news. You can be free from the bondage of your sins. Jesus has the power to set you free and give you rest. Now we've seen the plea that He delivers, the people He describes, and now the promise that He declares. What is the promise? He says, it's rest. It's that place of peace. It's that sense of, now I'm okay. Now I can handle this. Whatever comes, I'm at peace. I've been freed from the penalty of sin. I'm being freed from the power of sin. And one day He will remove me from the presence of sin. Whatever comes in my day today, nothing can unsettle me. We're given peace with God, according to Romans 5:1. Rest from our attempts to please God. Calmness concerning our salvation. Quietness about the future. Leave the future in God's hands. You're going to mess up the present if you try to fix the future. You won't even mess up tomorrow. You'll mess up today if you worry about tomorrow too much. Sufficient unto the day of the troubles thereof. That's the peace He gives you. He says, I've got this. I know you're hurting. I know you're bleeding inside. I know you're afraid. But I've got this. This thing that you call your life, I've got this. Got it in the palm of my hands. You can relax and be at rest. So that's the call to salvation. We see the plea He delivers. We see the people He describes. He says, come to them. People He describes, all those people in the chapter. And the promise is rest. So that's the call to salvation. Secondly, we see the command to surrender. The call to salvation is coupled with a command to surrender. There's something you need to give up. Salvation always precedes surrender. You can't live like a married man or married woman until you're married. Now, after you're saved, you should live like a saved person. But you cannot live like a saved person until you're saved. You can't. You need to get saved first. Then you can live like a saved person. And what is His command to surrender? He says, take my yoke upon you. And you know what a yoke is. It's that wooden implement designed to allow two oxen to pull a load together. It harnesses the power of both beasts to the load they're attempting to move. But in Jesus' time, the image of the yoke was also used to speak of submission to the instructions of a specific teacher or rabbi. You've taken that rabbi's yoke on you. You're learning what he teaches. Maimonides and all of those famous ones of that time. But this command to surrender, notice with me first of all about it, is it's we must surrender to a person. To a person. Not to a plan or a project. To a person, you need to surrender to Jesus. He wants you to give up control of your life to Him. Too many of us are trying to control our own lives. We're not trusting the Lord Jesus with it. You know that. You know that by about tea time you've forgotten about what a glorious service we had yesterday. By about 10 o'clock on a Monday morning and you're just doing your own thing. Jesus is far off. And you're handling life and its difficulty. And you forgot that you need to take his yoke on you because it's easy. You have to surrender to a person. Secondly, you must surrender to a partnership. It's a partnership. Jesus is saying, get in the yoke with me. Get in the yoke with me. He's not calling you to walk alone. He will never let you walk alone. He'll be right there with you and keep you with him. Because if he doesn't keep you with him, you'll go astray. He's the one who keeps you. He knows we cannot live this life on our own. You just cannot. You cannot live this life on your own. Listen to me, you can't. Stop trying. You can't live it on your own. So we see the call to salvation. We see the command to surrender. And thirdly, we see the challenge to serve. There's a challenge to serve also in the text. Notice first of all our pattern in that service. Jesus tells us to look at his example. He says, I am gentle and I'm humble. I'm completely yielded to the Father's will. I was sent into this world to serve. And even though we're not saved by works, we are clearly saved towards works. We are saved towards works, not by works. You can't do any holy work until you're saved. And so the pattern in service is our Lord Jesus himself. And that word learn is the same word that is translated disciples. He says, come and learn from me. He's looking for people who will lay everything on the line as he did, and they will serve him with no reservations, holding nothing back. If he says something, it's yea and amen, Lord. If he tells you to do something today, you'll do it yesterday. No hesitation. Amen. That's the pattern. But notice also, secondly, our peace in service. It's when we trust Jesus by faith that we're given rest in verse 28. It's the fruit of the service, is the peace. When you and I serve him faithfully, we find rest. That's what you find your rest in. There's a rest that gives us peace with God and peace of soul. There's a rest that comes from serving him. There's a joy, there's a fulfillment, a happiness that can be found nowhere else in life. It really cannot. I've practiced three careers in my life. First as a musician, then as a detective, and then a pastor. So I've looked at life from all three angles of the philosophers: beauty, truth, and righteousness. It wasn't planned that way. It just worked out that way. But I've stood on platforms playing Mozart. I've been in the alleys chasing some of the worst criminals in this country and having the joy to catch them. And I've been a pastor. It's my third congregation. Oh, and the Lord gave me the joy to lecture at Baptist College. Let me tell you something, not in any one of those things, not the pleasure of music, not the power of detective work, nor the principles of the pastorate can give you peace and rest. Only Christ can. And now peace comes in service to him. Thirdly, our promise in service. There's a promise again. He says the word easy. He says it fits well. It's made especially for you. It follows every contour of your feeble frame. And it fits you. He says it's an easy yoke for you. You should know what he was talking about. He was a carpenter. They made those yokes. He'll design a yoke that will fit you perfectly. His burden is light. Won't wear you down. The world will. Your boss will. You'll do that to your employees. But Jesus won't. His burden is light. As we put our shoulder to the path he's chosen for us, there'll be burdens along the way. But we'll find that his yoke brings us peace. It brings us joy. It brings us satisfaction and fulfillment. And that every difficulty in life is turned to our good by his grace as we walk with him. We are aware that our trials here will work for our glory there. You know he'll make it work out with blessing. He'll give you his peace that transcends all human understanding. Don't know how many of you know Tommy Dorsey. You're probably giving away your age if you do know the name. But he wrote a song, "Precious Lord, Lead Me On." Remember that? "Take my hand, precious Lord." So are you weary and tired from the struggles of life? If you come here this morning hoping you can find some consolation because it's been a really tough week, there's your consolation. Are you weak? Are you heavy laden? Come to me. Are you among all who are like that? Come to me and he will give you rest. Are you worn out from trying to serve him in the power of your flesh? Are you weary from your burden of sin? That's another thing he gives you peace from. There's rest in Jesus for those who come to him. Hear his words again as we close. "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful invitation. How glorious and wonderful it is. We pray that you help us to just leave everything and come to Jesus and find our rest in him. Pray that for everyone present here, Lord, these beloved people, every one of them, whatever it is that besets them, if it's inside of them, it's around about them, if it's on them, if it's through them, above them, below them, and all around them. I pray, Father, that you will give them rest in your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," as we close. Dearly beloved in Christ, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.